right, we're on episode 2. This is Erin.
This is Jessica.
And this is the Double Knit Podcast. Yeah, so we had a bit of a break, but we're back for our second episode, and Jessica has tons of knitting to talk about.
I went on a bit of a finishing frenzy. I had a seafoam lace stole that I was working on as a shop model. It was made with one skein each of Mountain Colors, Mountain Mohair, 4/8 wool, Moguls, and Merino ribbon, all in the same colorway. I had made one several years ago for my best friend as a birthday present, and it had been kind of halfway hibernating at the shop for
how long?
Probably over a year, probably. It's been a while, but there was enough of it. It was on display, so it wasn't. But anyway, I finally finished it. I got the fringe on it. I got it all off the needles, so I'm very happy with that. And then I needed a few little quick things to do. So I found a cute pattern on Ravelry. It's a freebie. It was called the Wavy Short Row Hat from the Lethal blog. And it was shown in a number of self-striping yarns, and I had a skein of handspun that I did with class samples from Madrona from last year that seemed really well suited to the pattern, and that was like a day-long project.
And I love the colors.
It's a really fun project to do. Yeah, like I like the way that one came out.
The blue and green is pretty.
Yeah, the project's really, it's a great, you know, if you just want a really simple but interesting hat to do, it's quite a bit of fun to knit. It's just done in little short row wedges that have increases and decreases that give it a wavy appearance, and it's a lot of fun to knit, so I would recommend that one. And then Wes asked me one day over lunch if I would make a baby gift for some friends of his who are down in LA who are expecting, and so I went home and started flipping through stuff and digging through my stash, and I found the Soft Baby cardigan from the Knitter's Book of Yarn, and I had a leftover part of a skein of Henry's Attic Inca cotton from a baby blanket I made a couple years ago.
It's so pretty.
Yeah, it is. I took a terrible picture of it for Ravelry because I find it really hard to photograph. It's kind of a light green, white marl yarn, really soft. The pattern is cute and simple. I found a few errors in it, so you might want to check the errata if you're interested in knitting that one. Another handspun project. I know, I've just been going crazy on the knitting. Everything else has been going by the wayside. But I did, I finally finished my Corma Lace cardigan, which is the Tailored Scallops pattern from Lace Style. And I did it in a Corma Silk blend that I bought 3 years ago at Oregon Flock and Fiber. And I spun it 3 years ago for the Tour de Fleece during the summer. And then I dyed it sometime in the last year and finally started knitting it. And I don't know why it took me so long, because it's a really quick, easy project. We have a coworker who made one as a shop model.
And a week.
Like a week and a half to make it. But she was making a smaller size, and I don't know. I don't know why it took me so long to do it. And I'm not crazy about the fit of the shoulder in it. And a wonderful designer that I know, Pat Bruner, sent me an email recently with all sorts of explanations and illustrations about what she thinks is wrong with it. And what she feels is wrong is the shaping at the top of the armhole. I had attributed some of the weirdness at the top of the sleeve to the feather and fan pattern making a little peak at the top. But so she sent me all sorts of illustrations and corrections, and that I basically have to take the sweater apart and
are you going to do that?
I don't know. No, I'm not going to do it right now. I'm going to leave it, but I do have a little bit of extra yarn, and I guess it'll depend how much it bothers me. I would like to try to follow through with the instructions that she gave me to better understand how to, because that's one area of knitting that's kind of mysterious to me, is the whole armhole shaping thing.
Yeah.
And how to make a proper, you know, proper armhole and a sleeve that fits well on that armhole, and that's all kind of like, it gets confusing and I kind of zone out. So I would be interested in trying to fix that. But for now, I'm still wearing it. I've worn
it's
it to
very
work
pretty.
A couple times. Thank you.
Yeah.
And then another gift item that I've been working on, when Wes and I went down to LA a couple weeks ago, and we stayed with his cousin, and his cousin has 2 daughters who are 2 and 4, and I wanted to make something for them, so I'm making the Monica little tank top with a ruffle on top.
It's so cute!
It is really cute. And it's a really quick, simple knit, and so I did one, but I think I accidentally used the wrong size needle. I thought I was doing it on a 6, and I think I actually did it on a 5. So I think it's the first one that I did is too small. So I'll probably just save it and give it to somebody else and have to make a second one for the 2-year-old. I'm working on the one for the 4-year-old. I've already done the body, and I just haven't wound the yarn yet and cast on for the ruffle. So I gotta do that. And then I also cast on for merino lace socks, which is in favorite socks, using Dreamin' Color Smooshy.
Cocoa Kiss!
And Cocoa Kiss, yes.
I love that color.
I do too. I showed it to Wes, and I was like, isn't it pretty? Look at all the shades of brown. And he looked at it, and he said, I just see brown. And I'm like, look, no, there's like gray here, and it's darker here. And he's like, yeah, no, it just looks brown. I'm like, no, it's pretty. Trust me, it's pretty. He's like, okay, whatever. I've got him pretty well trained. Usually I just tell him the response that I want. Like, I'm going to show you this, and you're going to act interested. And he's, okay, here, look, ooh, or soft. He knows how to, like, reach out and touch things and pretend that he thinks it's soft, even though he can't distinguish the difference in softness between things at all.
Huh.
Some kind of guy thing. He also can't distinguish the difference between colors at all either, so I don't know what that's all about. Anyway, so I think that's everything I'm doing right now.
Yeah. Are you sure?
I think so.
Okay.
Is that not enough?
No, that's enough.
Okay.
So, you have the other girly top on there, or the Monica top on the needles. Do you have that?
Yeah.
And the socks.
And the socks. That's that. And then I'm also still working on the crocheted afghan that I've been doing, a ripple afghan.
Yeah, that's really pretty, too.
It's coming out great. It's 3 natural colors of wool that Rebecca Burgess gave to me. I originally wanted to do it as a Doulon thing. I'm not sure where it's going to end up now, but it's been my TV project, so I like worked on it last night while I watched Lost. So that I end up missing things because I have to really keep my eyes on crochet when I'm doing it. I can't like really zone out the way I can with knitting because I have to actually look at the spaces where I'm putting the hook. Whereas knitting, I can just, you know, feel a stitch on the needle. I don't know if. Do people get to the point with crochet where they can just do it without looking at it?
I never did.
No? Okay.
No.
I'm sure somebody does, but, you know, like Lily
Not
Chin
me.
When she's on TV doing it at 800 miles an hour. And I keep watching the Knit and Crochet Today TV show, and I can't get over how fast the people crochet on that show. And I keep trying holding my hook different ways, and I cannot physically make my hands move that quickly while still actually making crochet stitches. So
yeah.
I don't know where that comes from. But
doing it for a long time?
I guess so. I don't know. It won't be me.
Yeah, it won't be me either.
So what do you have on the needles, Erin?
Well, my knitting's been kind of slow these days. Oh, but my clapotee is almost done. Out of the Blue Moon Fiber Arts Luscious Silk in the Thraven colorway. So that's the blue black one. And
it's gorgeous.
Beautiful.
It really is.
I love the silk.
Erin keeps passing it around at knitting, and everyone has like a little yarngasm when they touch it. Like, oh, ooh, ah. There's like all sorts of cooing noises as you pass it around.
Yeah.
It's quite lovely.
I think my end paper mitts were my favorite thing I knit, but now I think that this is it.
Yeah. Are you enjoying the knitting, or do you just like the final product?
Both. I'm pretty much a finisher. Like, I like to see the finished thing.
Yeah, me
so
too.
So, I've been kind of slow these days, and it's kind of bumming me out, because I just want to see something done. Although, I did finish my monkey socks. Although, I am going to call them Hideous Monkey, because I think they're really ugly.
Oh.
I don't know. I mean, I'll still wear them, but
is it just the colorway? You didn't like the way it turned out when you knitted it?
Yeah. I mean, that was the first socks that rock I ever bought, and I didn't know about the short repeats and stuff, and I had wound it and been wound in ball for 6 months or something.
Yeah.
And I kept trying different things, and I was just like, screw it, I'm going to do monkey socks. And they're okay.
Yeah, not low on them.
No. I think I'm more of a solid color person.
Me too. That's where I'm loving the Dreamin' Color, because you get a little bit of variation. It's kind of subtle, but it's essentially a solid.
Solid, yeah. So now I've learned for the Blue Moon stuff to order the semi-solids.
Mm-hmm.
And I like those a lot more.
I sat next to a woman at Madrona this year in one of my classes, and I knew I recognized her. And I said, oh, did we take a class together at Madrona last year? And she said, no. And then after a little while, she said, oh, I think we were in a class together at the Northwest Regional Spinners Conference, which was like 2 years ago. And I turned and I said, oh, were you knitting some socks in the Blue Moon Socks that rock in the Jasper colorway? She said, yes, I think so. I'm like, oh, I remember that. Like, so of course, I don't remember people, but I remember their knitting. But that was, I think Jasper is one of the ones I really want to get from them sometime.
Yeah, because
like
they had that at Madrona in the marketplace.
Yeah. pretty. Very pretty stuff.
So I'm also, well, I still have Lady Eleanor on Sherlock, still on the needles.
Well, you've made progress on that because...
I've made progress because I actually wound the second ball.
Yay!
I
mean,
it was just sitting. I finished the first ball like a month ago. It was just sitting there, mm-hmm. and I just couldn't get up the gumption to pull out the ball winder and the swift and wind it the second ball, which takes like 2 minutes.
It's amazing how little the roadblocks are sometimes to progress and that you, once you do it, you're like, I mean, it's the same in knitting as in many, many other things, but you know, you procrastinate on something for so long and once you finish it, you're like, why did I take so long to do that? That took 4 minutes. No.
So that's good. I think that's pretty much it. I've been, yeah. The Knitting Mojo's been slow in coming back. I think since it's gorgeous in Seattle today,
yay,
that maybe the sunny weather will help me get some of my energy back. And
yeah. Erin is part lizard at work. She goes outside on sunny days to stand in a patch of sunlight, absorb some sort of energy from perhaps cat. I don't know. It's the California girl in her, I think.
I'm from California, and it's already hot there, so...
Whereas
you're in California. So.
I'm not from Seattle, but I'm the perfect Seattleite that when the sun comes out, I retreat far, far away from it. Sort of part vampire. I like wish for clouds and gray skies so that I don't have to be in the sun.
Yeah. So, yeah, the knitting has been kind of low-key around here lately.
But you've been reading like crazy. Yes.
I've been reading like crazy, and I've been looking at like knitting inspiration, like my books in my library and stuff like that. So thinking about things but not actually casting on or starting or finishing.
What have you been reading?
Okay, I've been reading a lot. I just finished Howard's End.
Yay.
E.M. Forster. I loved it. And you're right, it's very internal.
Yeah.
Book. Yeah. But I love his style of writing. Just mm-hmm. love it. And I read Morris, or for Americans, Maurice, which I thought was really good. And it was really interesting to me that he wrote that in 1913 and 1914, and it wasn't published until 1971, which is a year after he died. I think people had an issue with the homosexuality.
Yes.
Theme in it, but I really liked it.
That's one of those books where I have to admit that I haven't read it, but I've seen the movie. So
see, I didn't know there was a movie, and I haven't seen Howard's End yet either.
Oh, well, End is one of my favorite book adaptations where I felt like when I watched it that it was exactly what I had pictured in my mind as I'd read the book, and that to capture that in a film is usually kind of tricky, but I think they did a beautiful job with that.
Yeah, and I also, what else did I read? Oh, I read Children of Men by P.D. James.
Oh,
so,
I didn't know you read
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I read that. It's pretty short. I think
that's
like
another one where I saw the movie, but I didn't read the book. Oh, no.
200 pages, I think. But the tone is totally different.
Have you seen the film?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I love Clive Owen. He's like that. I love that movie. I went and saw it with Noah, and we both were like, wow. And we were talking about it for a long time. It made us think about a lot of things and bring up a lot of stuff. So if you've seen the movie, you should read the book and kind of see how they're different.
Yeah, I'd heard from a lot of people the book is much better than the film, and that the film is quite different in a lot of ways from the book.
I don't really feel like that. I feel like the book was well done in its own right, and it sparked the movie, so, you know.
Yeah.
But the tone is totally different, and I feel like it's a lot more cynical.
Oh, okay.
Like, all the way through, up to, like, the last chapter, it's like completely cynical.
Huh.
And there's not all the crazy, like shooting and kind of guy scenes.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Super action scenes,
yes,
that there are in the movie. It's also a bit more internal and focuses pretty much on like Clive Owen's character in the movie, on mm-hmm. his character and his view of everything. I think that's it.
I've only been doing a tiny bit of reading, so I'm working on An Arsonist's Guide to Writers' Homes in New England. I believe the author's name is Brock Clark, and it's so far really dry and hilarious about a man who, when he's in his teens, accidentally burns down Emily Dickinson's house and in the process kills two people, and his life once he gets out of prison. So it's
And shocking.
Yes. Well, and it's not the subject matter you would think that would be really hilarious, but it's incredibly funny and strange and dry, so I'm very curious to see where that goes.
That's it?
That's all I'm doing for reading.
You're knitting for my reading.
I am. I'm being bad. I'm also, like, just watching TV and spending too much time on the internet, so... Mother's Day brunch, I told Wes that, like, I'm going by. And I ran around the corner to the movie theater and I saw a great movie called Son of Rambo. And I know I said this at knitting and everyone's like, what? Son of Rambo? What? What? That was great? What are you talking about? And it's Rambo with a W, and it is a British film about set in the early 80s about two little boys, kind of the unlikely pair. One is the huge smart alecky troublemaker, and the other is a super good little boy whose family is part of a fundamentalist religious group called the Brethren, and he's not allowed to watch television, he's not allowed to watch movies or listen to music or basically do anything, and this other little boy tricks him into helping him film their own version of First Blood, the first Rambo film. And how they sort of end up, you know, all the other kids around them sort of end up getting involved, and it becomes this huge thing. It's really charming, very funny, more for the grown-ups, I think, who were kids in the 80s than for people who are kids right now. I think it's released as an unrated film because I thought about taking my son, who's 10 years old today, to see it with me. But after reading a bit more about it, I'm glad I didn't, because it would go way over his head in terms of a lot of the themes. So maybe more for a sophisticated teenager to see or to appreciate. It reminded me a lot of a wonderful film that I don't know was ever released in the U.S. that I saw at the Seattle International Film Festival probably a decade ago, called A Feast at Midnight, which is this beautiful film. I think it might be available for rental, about kids who are stuck in this miserable British boarding school, and their way of escape is to create this midnight feasting society where one of them has the L'Escoffier cookbook, and they start recreating all these incredible recipes.
That sounds really good.
It was so charming and sweet, and it was also very clever. It had a whole Jurassic Park theme to it. Christopher Lee plays sort of the evil headmaster, who they refer to as the Raptor. And it's funny. It's this film I saw once, like 10 years ago, and I remember so much about it. It was just completely charming, and I felt very similar feelings for Son of Rambo. So if you like funny, charming movies about British children, it's a big thumbs up for that one. And it, as I was already telling Aaron, it has an awesome early 80s soundtrack.
Yay!
So all your Britpop favorites from the early 80s are in there.
Love
sort
it.
Of in the background. What fun movies have you seen lately?
Noah wanted to go see Iron Man.
Woohoo!
Which is kind of out of the blue. He has very strange... Well, first of all, he likes sci-fi, which I'm totally fine with. I'm okay with seeing a good sci-fi movie, but they're mostly not good.
We're going to get email on that one.
Yeah. And every once in a while, he just wants to see, like, some super... Not super macho, but... like a guy movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like to support him in that. So. And he paid. So.
Yeah. Well, everything I've heard about it has been really pretty positive. I mean, even from places where I wouldn't expect to see positive reviews.
Yeah. I was pretty happy with the very beginning because they opened up with AC/DC. So, right off, I was like, okay, I could deal with this. Was it Robert Downey Jr. plays the main character? And he was pretty funny, and he wasn't the usual, like, superpower kind of guy. He's just, like, super smart and creates this kind of armor that becomes his alter ego, Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of bumbling and socially retarded, kind of, the rest
not
of the time.
Not the usual,
so.
Like, dull, good guy character.
Yeah, you know, and he's not, like, super buff or, you know, you could argue that he's hot. I don't know. But
yeah,
he's, like, not a Christopher Reeve Superman
no.
type.
Definitely
at all.
Not. That's
so
good.
That was fun. But yesterday I rewatched, was it yesterday? This week I rewatched Hedwig and the Angry Inch, which is one of my top three
really
favorite movies ever.
Ah.
just because the music's so good, and the costumes are so good, and the dialogue is so good, and it's got this theme of, this mythological theme, kind of the origin of love, and kind of like the androgyny thing.
I've only seen it, I would say I've seen it once, but I've really seen it twice, because I watched it once, and then watched it immediately following with the director's commentary, because it's so short. I did it all in one night. So I went through it twice, but Wes and I sometimes, Wes loves to do karaoke, and so the Seattle Gay and Lesbian Film Festival every month in Seattle as a fundraiser has Cineoki, which is like karaoke, but you pick a movie that has a musical number in it, and you can bring in the DVD, or they have a library of DVDs, and so you pick out your number and they play it on the screen, like you get up on stage and they project it on the screen and you can perform along to it. And so Hedwig, as you can imagine, is a real popular one. They do a lot of that, so I feel like I've seen bits of it over and over again, but I haven't watched it in a long time since it came out, but that is a good one.
I've probably watched it 50 times.
I just heard on a semi-unrelated note that I'm just thinking of men in wigs. Okay. on a men in wigs note, I just heard yesterday that RuPaul is going to do a reality TV show that's going to be a drag queen competition. And it's got the best name. It's called Drag Race.
Oh, my God.
So I'm like, I don't watch reality TV, but I would totally watch that. That could be
some
supremely awesome television. I don't know what channel that's going to be on. I'm thinking like Bravo or maybe, I can't remember what the name of the new Showtime's gay themed channel is, but it sounds completely awesome. So I would totally watch that.
So I just wanted to mention the local yarn store tour. It's going to be over by the time we get this up, but it happens every year in Seattle, in the surrounding area. And it was crazy at the shop yesterday.
It was.
And basically what happens is a bunch of yarn stores participate, and we have 24 this year. And you get a passport where you get stamps and a map. Well, you visit each store, you get a stamp for each store you visit. You enter to win a daily raffle at each store.
Each store gives away a free pattern that's a one skein project and offers that yarn at a 10% discount.
Yeah. And then if you go to all 24 stores, which is kind of a feat in itself,
yes, it is.
You turn in your passport with all your information and you get entered to win a $500 gift certificate to your store of choice.
Yeah, or you can divide it among stores as well.
Yeah. So that's happening right now in Seattle. So if you're ever planning a visit, like May, you should check out.
Mid-May is good.
Mid-May is good because you can see all the yarn stores in the area.
Yeah, but it's been really fun, you know, having everyone visit the shop. People who live sort of in the area but don't usually come to our particular store. We have a very yarn store rich city. So there's a lot of options. A lot of options there. So last time we were doing a little mini review of the Noro Crayon sock yarn, and we mentioned that we'd heard that the Silk Garden sock yarn is coming out. And
it is.
It is. And the rep was at the store last week, and we got to see samples of it. And it's quite beautiful.
And soft.
I think there are 8 colorways coming out that are all like new Silk Garden colorways that are then coming out in the sock yarn as well. Looks really lovely. The yardage is less than the crayon sock, and I think the gauge is slightly heavier. I don't remember the stats off the top of my head, but I think all the information is at the Knitting Fever website, knittingfever.com. And but also for fans of the crayon sock yarn, you should know that all the colors that are currently out...
Discontinued!
All being discontinued. They're kicking them all out, and they're coming out with all new colors for fall, which are going to be all the new colors that they're doing in the regular crayon yarn. So if there's a color out there that you like, buy it now, because it's all going. They don't even know if they're going to have any more, if they're going to be able to fulfill the back orders that they have right now.
Shocking.
So, I know. Shocking. So just grab it while you can. We've got a book in the shop.
Is that Fuzzy Felted Friends? Oh my god. Yeah. And I had a dream about this book last night, so it's weighing very heavily on me whether or not I should buy it. Because the elephant tea cozy is so cute.
It's an amazingly adorable book full of needle felted little critters and different felt projects. Yeah, there's
like a pencil pouch that's like a dog, and there's little felted dogs, and there's
little needle felted cell phone charms that are little animals. Yeah.
There's a sheep wreath that's so cute.
Yeah, that's adorable. It's like a whole bunch of sheep in a ring, and then
some like coin purses. Yeah.
Oh, the little birdie rattles. And
yeah, I love those.
There's so much cute stuff in this book.
And everyone at the store runs up to him, opens it, and goes, oh!
So. It's part of the Kyuto series, where they have an amigurumi book, and lacy crochet, mm-hmm. and woolly embroidery, and now this little felted book that is just adorable. But I think needle felting is just... Luette keeps coming out with new little needle felted patterns. I've been seeing a lot of that at work. And I think everyone is coming out with new books on needle felting and little needle felted animals. So that's going to be I think we're just going to keep seeing more and more of that going into fall.
Yeah. That book is so cute.
It's adorable.
I think I need to buy it.
Yeah. So what was the dream that you had about your needle
felting book? I was actually thinking about those bird rattles. They're just like the little round... Like, they look like, I don't know, baby birds, but they're just round, like a ball. Uh-huh. And they have a little bell inside. And that's all I can remember. When you brought it up, it popped in my head.
That's odd.
Yeah, well, that's me.
All right. Well, yeah, I had some sort of weird dream about, like, I have dreams about bloggers all the time. Like, you know.
Where are these people you actually know? Or
sometimes it's someone I actually know, and sometimes it's not. You know, like, sometimes it's, you know, Yarn Harlot, or sometimes it's, like, someone, just random person whose blog I read, and I have, and it's always totally normal, boring dreams where, like, I meet them, and we, like, get a cup of coffee, and we talk. And the weird thing about it is, like, wait, I don't actually know that person, but... Yeah, I'm boring. I'm weird.
I guess that's what happens with the online knitting community, though. Yeah,
you start to feel like you really know people, even though you don't know them at all.
Exactly.
I think that's all we have for you this week.
Yeah. So, we're going to actually try to do this every other week. There were just other circumstances that came up.
Yes.
So,
life and work.
Yeah. And I think that's it for episode 2.
Yay.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.